Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this May the 26th edition of Marketing Office Minutes with John Torino. And with joining me today is my special guest, Paul Economan, who is a writer who specializes in customer case studies. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, John.
For those of you who haven't seen this broadcast before, the whole idea is for you to log in to Zoom on your own computer and join this conversation in real time, and that way we can answer your questions live and make sure you get the answers you need. I will be putting this up as a replay later on if you're not able to watch at 9 o'clock on Thursday, so you'll find it on YouTube late this afternoon Pacific time. So with that, let's get started. Paul, tell us a little bit about what exactly a case study is, a customer case study.
Well, HubSpot Marketing said that a customer case study chronicled the positive aspects of a product or service that a current customer has. So basically, it's a detailed account going from one situation to a new and better situation. That's what it is. Now, what it is not, it's not a sales pitch. You're not out there beating and hammering on somebody. No, we want engaging context. We don't want that. So a customer case study is there for several reasons. Number one, it's there to create the credibility and trust. Now, back in my day, credibility and trust was something that automatically came with the territory. My father had a landscaping business. And so naturally, everybody in the town knew him, knew what he did, knew the quality of service, and they trusted him. Well, these days with the internet and so on, that's just not possible. So you need to create that trust and credibility. And that's how you do that with a customer case study, is you show that this person or this product or this service is credible. Now, that separates you from the competition also, because it shows that the competition isn't necessarily bad, but by God, your product works. And that's the main thing.
Interesting. You know, I think when you talk about everybody in the town knowing your dad as a landscaper, my father had a music store in a little town, El Segundo, California.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And we had that on the side of the Volkswagen van that we used to deliver pianos and organs, and everybody in town knew us. So
exactly. And that's the promotion that you had.
Okay. So the purpose of the case study then is really to build credibility.
It's to educate, because what you want to do is say, hey, world, my product, my service, it works. You see? And they also shows them how it works and how you can use it. So, hey, I didn't know I could use this widget to clean my clothes. By God, I can use it for that.
So what's the main difference between a customer case study and a testimonial or a review on something like Google or Facebook?
Testimonials are good for what they do. They add that credibility. But as you know, in sales, you have to continue to sell the people. You have to continue to get them interested and keep them interested. A testimonial is typically one or two paragraphs in length. As I say, they're good for what they do. But then what you need to do is really keep that going. A customer case study is about two pages in length.
Ah, okay. So
it does that, and it tells a story. It goes beyond that. Now, the other thing that a customer case study does, a testimonial typically is John H. And there's no picture. There's just John H. Well, who's John H.?
Okay.
No, this is Joe Smith. Joe Smith, here's his picture. And Joe Smith lives in Portland, Oregon, you see. So it adds that piece of credibility, and it adds that the realness to it all. The other problem that testimonials have been up against lately, unfortunately, is that there are such things as fake reviews. The Attorney General of New York in 2013 fined a number of companies because they paid to have fake reviews. Mm. Well, you certainly don't want that.
That's true. Yeah. In fact, Yelp is famous, I think, for I don't know if they solicit reviews from other people, but I know that they have been, I've heard people talk about they're discriminatory in some way. So
yeah, yeah. A customer case study tends to avoid all that.
Okay.
Because again, here it is. This is Joe. Boom, boom, boom.
And so you tell a full story then about what Joe's problem was and how your product was applied to it or service was applied to it?
Yes, what you do is you say, here's the problem. And let's take the example of my father, a landscaper.
Okay.
So you have somebody looking for a landscaper and their yard looks terrible. They can't entertain. The kids have to play in the street and that's dangerous. And in Portland here, it rains a lot. So in the backyard, it's just a lake in the middle of the winter. They can't do anything with all this property. So what they need is a landscaper. Okay. But they have their criteria. So they say, well, look, I want someone who's honest, someone who's licensed. I want someone who doesn't hesitate. They know the answer. So they have this criteria.
Okay.
So they go looking for them. Maybe they look in they go on Google and type in landscapers. And maybe they read those testimonials. They do the research. They take a journey. They go on this journey to find it. Well, my nephew, he's done a bit of landscaping. Or maybe Craigslist. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, none of these people that they've seen really have all the criteria that they're looking for.
Wow. Okay.
Finally, they come to you, you the landscaper, and you, they ask you a question and you immediately answer them. Boom. And you said, by God, I want it to look nice. I want it to lower my water bill. And they don't hesitate. They just go right to it. Boom. Ah, I found somebody. So you use them. And then the results. Well, let's see, my water bill went down by $5 a month. And now my children don't have to play in the street anymore. And so on and so on. So you've taken that journey and you've shown that this is my life now.
Okay, so when you talk about answering instantly and giving that information, where typically would you publish these customer case studies? Would that be on your website or in a blog, or would that be up on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever social media those people might be trying to use?
All of the above and more.
Oh. Okay.
You can put it on a website. It's great for that because
right.
A person, when they open up your website, boom, they immediately see trust. Also, I've done a number of trade shows in my life, and I know that when you go there, the people walk up to the booth and they want to see what you've got. You give them your story. You tell them and then you hand them a customer case study. What you've given them is a third-party endorsement from someone who has nothing to gain, who's not being paid, and they just say, this is a wonderful thing. Boom. So you can do that. You can do press releases. You can, try putting it on your telephone hold message when somebody calls in. Instead of having that boring music that puts them to sleep, give them a customer case study.
Interesting. Yeah. So, you mentioned the trade show. That's one use for the customer case study. What are some of the other good uses for it?
Well, I would say basically anywhere and any part of your social media program, a customer case study should be in there. Because it's a customer case study actually moves a person from the moment they open the doors to your website, and it moves them along to the point of sale. Boom. So, speaking of sales, I've done a number of sales in my times, and I know if everybody just walked up and handed you money, that'd be one thing. They don't do that. No, a good salesman knows that you have to close and you have to continue to have engaging conversation with them. You have to continue to interest them. You have to establish that point of reality. Well, that's exactly what a customer case study does. So in the middle of your presentation, you say, oh, Mr. Jones, by the way, did you see that Fred Smith says, well, here, read this. Now again, now it's not a sales pitch anymore. It's Fred Smith saying that what I just said was true.
Okay.
Another place you might put it is an employee, when you get a new hire.
Okay.
Put a new hire in there. And it shows them that the company that they're working for is legitimate. The product works. Hey, you picked a good company.
Ah, interesting. You know, yeah, I used to market high-tech hardware and software, you know, capital equipment, $250,000 and up stuff. And one of the things that the sales folks always used to ask for was more stuff, if you will.
Ah, yeah.
And to me, stuff was data sheets. It was application notes. And in that high-tech world, the application note of how to use a product was probably just as important as the customer case study or the testimonial. Yes. And sometimes, you know, they kind of got merged together. But you're right. The sales folks really want stuff that they can hand to a potential customer,
right,
and use that to build that credibility and to illustrate how the product or service will solve their problem because right. It solves somebody else's like that. So
right.
It seems to me if you can build those case studies up with a variety of different applications, a variety of different solutions, and a variety of different people, that would probably be pretty valuable information to be able to have for stuff to hand out to people.
Yes. And actually, there's been studies done. And first of all, every study I've seen, the Content Marketing Institute, for example, does a study every year. And customer case studies have always been in the top three of what marketers use to market to other people. Because it is, and there's also other studies that have been done by others, and they also say that I think it's 83% or very, very high of what people will read and see as being valuable. So it's always up there in the top three.
Yeah, interesting. So if I wanted to create one of these customer case studies, what's the process? Can you give us an idea of, you know, step one through Z or however many steps it might take?
The first thing you do is you get with the client. Now, this is not the person you're going to interview. This is the client, because you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page, and that because it's going to integrate with everything else, and you want to make sure that this, what's the tone? What's the flavor of what we're doing here? And you've done that. You've interviewed it. You've got some information on the company. And then you have them get you in touch with a happy customer.
Okay.
You call up that happy customer. Make a time to go out and see them. It could be done on the phone or in person. I just like in person kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
So, and then I send them a list of questions ahead of time so that there's no surprises. And being a good journalist that I am, I can always go this way or that way. But basically, here's what we're going to ask you. When I sit down with them or I'm over the phone, I record it and I get their permission. It usually takes about an hour.
Okay.
And then when we're done, when I'm done with all my quotes and stuff, I transcribe it and I send that back to the person that you interviewed to make sure that those quotes are correct.
Okay.
Now we've done that. Then you take the story, the whole write-up of it. You write the headlines. You write the sub-headlines. And usually I would send two copies to the client. You want to send, number one, the text.
Right.
So they're going to have their graphic designer put it in a nice form. The writer never does that.
Okay.
Something for the graphic designer to do, because again, he wants to coordinate it.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, the issue of branding, you want to make sure all of your stuff, you know, carries the same message and the same voice and the same logos, so that, you know, it all looks like it's coming from the same company.
Exactly. And you do put your logo on the customer case study, by the way.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all got to look the same. You're exactly right. It all wants to look the same. But I also, what I also do is I also send a proposed layout. So what you do is you just write the headline, and I propose a layout, and I said, put this picture here, and they can do what they want with it.
Sure.
I just say, hey, here's an idea. Boom. Send it out. And that's it. And then changes. You want to make any changes necessary. I don't ever charge to make changes.
Okay.
I never do. Just take the viewpoint that, look, until you're really happy with this, we're not done.
Okay. That makes sense.
Exactly.
I worked for a company called John Fluke Manufacturing Company one time for several years. And John Fluke Sr., rest his soul, who passed away many years ago, used to say to his salespeople and his customer support people, and actually everybody in the company, give the customer a little bit more than they expected.
Oh.
And they will be loyal forever. So,
oh, let me tell you, that is the essence of sales. You always give them more than what they ask for. Yes, you are so right.
Yeah. I mean, so often you see salespeople will overpromise and underdeliver because they're hungry for the commission or whatever. But those kinds of things just never work out in the long term. And it's much more expensive to get a new customer than to retain one. So,
right. And of course, they're going to go out and tell other people.
Right.
So, oh, man.
Yeah, that statistic is out there too. I think if somebody really likes what they got, they'll tell one or two or three. If they don't like it, they'll tell 10 to 20.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what qualities should a customer look for, or a business owner look for, in creating a good customer case study? What kind of customer works best?
First of all, one that's very happy. I mean, the lady I talked to yesterday, she was just ecstatic. She couldn't say enough good about it. Mm-hmm. Well, that gives me some awfully good quotes. But secondly, it should be high-spirited. And I want to say almost playful, but it has to coordinate with the rest of the sales of the campaign. But generally, it should be high-spirited.
Oh.
Because you're talking, this person is you want to be down to earth about it.
Right.
You don't want to be scholarly or no. This is not the time to impress people with your writing. This is something this is an average Joe. So write it in the average Joe style. Know that this is an average Joe. So they should look for maybe two pages, average customer case study. Sometimes it goes three or four pages.
Okay.
That's on the subject. But just make sure it's done that style. Make sure that it has such information, such as their first name, their last name, their picture, and a little bit of information about them, just to establish that credibility.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. One of the things you said there triggered a thought, and then it went away. So if it comes back, I'll ask it again. It had to do with, what the heck did it have to do with? Gosh, I don't know. But let's move on to another question. How often do you think that a business owner should get new case studies?
I would do them regularly just because, because things change.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind that Google now, with their new algorithms and the way that they check for fresh content and that kind of thing, you don't want to get too stale. Also, keeping in mind that the customer is getting new products, getting new services, or maybe tweaking an old one, or this is the 2.0 version. Well, that's not the same as the 1.5 version, so get a customer case study on the new one. The internet and social media marketing is it's always evolving, and you need to have a customer case study to keep up with that. So there's no really time limit per se, but just do it every once in a while.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So can you give me some examples of some of the companies that you've done these case studies for, Paul?
I've done one for a nutritional company.
Okay.
And maybe I'm getting off the subject here, but that was a very impressive lady that I talked to.
Uh-huh.
It's a nutritional supplement, but just what it did to her. I've talked to, last week I actually interviewed a man who has a ping pong social club here in Portland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then, of course, there were some nonprofits. I did one for the local library here.
Okay.
And I interviewed one of the patrons and just thought they were the greatest thing in the whole world. And they've since become part of the county system. But back then, they were trying to promote themselves. So I do some, I just did that for a freebie. Because it's a local library and it's, you know, it deserves to be served.
Sure. So it really doesn't matter what industry you're in or what business you're in. I mean, the customer case study will apply in any case, it sounds like, right?
Boy, you betcha. I mean, if you got your door open and you want to get more business and you want to establish your credibility and trust, that's a great way to do it.
Wow. All right. Well, I've sort of run out of questions, but you want to expand on any? The thought that came back to me was the high-spirited comment you made.
Sure.
The statistics I've seen also show that telling stories that are engaging is a really effective way to do that marketing. And then the other piece of it, which had to do with, writing to express rather than writing to impress. That was the thought. So you mentioned making sure that you write it in for the average Joe and that you don't just try to show how smart you are. You're really trying to get that point across and write it with the reader in mind.
Quite true. Quite true. So don't use any words that sound impressive. Mm. Talk everyday language. Besides, the person comes across a word they don't understand, they go, huh? No. Just use simple language. And if the person that you're interviewing or the story is about something that's more technical, just explain it.
Okay.
And understand who's going to be reading this case study. Is it the engineers? Keeping in mind that, yes, it could be the engineers, but other people may wind up reading it. So you really need to make sure that, again, the average Joe is understood. You don't want to do it in such a way that you're looking down on people or making them, you know, I'm impressive, I have a degree kind of thing. And just make it simple, to the point. And the other thing that you made is an excellent point, because people need facts.
Right.
Go on. My wife, for example, is whenever she gets something, she goes on the internet and just all this research. That's great. People do that. They want these facts. They want these figures.
Right.
How does this compare to that? How does it compare? But I'll tell you, you're right. When it comes down to it, tell a story. Because people need facts, but they love stories. And a story will stick with them so much longer than when the facts go. They'll remember that story.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking back again to my days of the high-tech marketing when you're talking about multiple audiences. And you know, I used to teach electronic design engineers, how to make their circuits easier to test. And the test engineers were the people who always hired me because they were the ones that were feeling the pain. And so one of the things I used to have to really get across to these folks in order to get a seminar booked in-house was that you got to stop talking in nanoseconds and picofarads,
right,
which are the technical things of ones and zeros,
right,
and talk about debits and credits and dollars and cents and,
exactly,
and benefits and personal benefits, because that's really what's going to make an impact on the reader, is that, oh, what's in it? You know, the what's in it for me is still an awfully big piece.
Oh, yeah, and it always will be. And speaking of that, there's another use for customer case studies. If you want to get additional capital and you need to go to a venture capitalist, you need to make sure he understands that. A customer case study is a great way to show them that what they're putting their money into, they'll get the return and they'll make a profit. But see, that's what a venture capitalist wants, and that's not the same thing as an IT or a manager. So you need to make sure it covers the spectrum.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Paul, it's been a pleasure having you on today. If people want to contact you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I would say my website.
Okay.
Which
is... That website is what?
Actually, my email on the website, which is paul@thewriternamedpaul.com.
So that's paul@thewriternamedpaul.
Correct.
All one word?
All one word.
Okay.
They can also go to my LinkedIn page.
Okay. All right. And so they can email you at paul@thewriternamedpaul.com. And what's the website itself?
The Writer Named Paul.
Oh, The Writer Named Paul is the website. So, okay. Super. Well, I will be adding that to, let me get it written down here. I will be adding that to the credits at the end of this replay once I get it translated into something that Movie Maker can read, and I bring it up and I put the front end and the back end on it. So, again, thank you so much for spending the time with me and sharing your expertise on this topic. And hopefully we'll have you on maybe again sometime in the future.
John, I've certainly enjoyed this. I love talking to you.
Well, thank you.
You have some very good things to say, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Happy to do it, Paul. Listen, have a great rest of the day.
All right.
And I'll see you soon.
Thanks, John.
Bye-bye. Bye.